Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
FredNet Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC. Our focus this morning with Dennis Rapkins and Mike Zitz. The season just about ready to start, Mike Zitz, and there's always excitement for the beginning of another Sunshine Baseball League season.
Yeah, sometimes too much excitement, but yeah, thanks for having us, Ted. And there's a lot of cool stuff going on this year that we should talk about. Yeah, thank you.
We talk about it all the time of this being a summer league that you don't see, Dennis, around here, not in this format anyway.
No, and you don't see now, baseball has become which was the original summer sport, has become, of course, there are spring leagues and then there are fall leagues. And so Sunshine Baseball League fills this gap. And for many kids who love baseball, it's a chance to play more baseball. And for other kids who play other sports, or haven't been exposed to baseball, it's a chance to learn about baseball, mm-hmm. to learn that baseball is a game of patience. Baseball is a team sport with individual contributions, and it's a game where you pick up your teammates, where you pick up the slack when they need help, and they'll do the same for you. And at Sunshine Baseball League, the idea is through good coaches, it is to be able to instill a culture where that is communicated and that is clear, fundamentals are taught, and the game is the fun of the game is brought out. So that's what we're trying to do.
I saw something last week, Mike, where you still were looking for some coaches. So if someone wants to get involved and has thought, I'd like to try my hand at this, is there still opportunities for people?
We normally don't do this, but no, like the deadline for registration was June 1st, and part of that has to do with ordering uniforms and that sort of thing, trying to get the right sizes and get it in time, which is difficult to do. But this year we had a situation where we knew there were a lot of kids who wanted to play, and our mission is to help kids whose families are not well off and certainly can't afford travel baseball, thousands of dollars. Our fee is pretty low. It's $165 for 3 months, really. That's really low, actually.
Yeah, for three
months.
And
one that's not subsidized by local governments. Like, sometimes you have a rec program that's less than that because they're getting money from the county or city.
Yeah.
But we're not. We have to raise money supplement that. So, because we give a lot of kids scholarships because we want them to play. And a perfect example of that is the Afghan refugee children who live right near the ballpark. The ballpark was built up there, what's sometimes called Bragg Road, but now often called Fall Hill Avenue. But it's in a relatively low-income neighborhood. And there are a lot of Afghan people there who came here around the time of our withdrawal or just before that from that country. And a lot of them are... The fathers worked with the U.S. military or with the CIA, mm-hmm. helping us there in Afghanistan, and it was not a situation where it's really safe for them to stay when the Taliban took over. And they're heroes, and they're here, and some of them have degrees or teachers or had good paying jobs in Afghanistan. And here, things are much more difficult for them in terms of finding jobs, and so they don't have a lot of money. The kids are very enthusiastic and excited about playing, and so we wanted to get them in because we got some in last year and they did really well. They play cricket, and it translates well, and they need to learn the rules and develop some defensive skills. But they hit well. They throw, have really good arms. They usually are a lot of them are fast. And this year, we have a bunch of Afghan girls who want to play, which is a huge deal as far as I'm concerned, because in Afghanistan they could never be allowed to do anything like that.
Yeah.
So we put together two teams at the last minute, a 10-under team and a 13-under team. And right now I'm coaching both of them because it's really important to do It's difficult to line up coaches at the last minute, and also you have to have a certain level of patience with this that you probably beyond what you normally would.
Yeah, because you're teaching a game to them that they don't. They haven't played it all their life.
And baseball is a very technical game to learn. It takes years to build upon the various levels of skills involved.
Well, I mean, you guys saw last year how well they were doing.
And
they picked things up really fast. But and last year we got two teams that are largely made up of Afghan players now. There are some other kids on the team. But that's a little bit different than having like a couple of Afghan players and the other kids being, you know, having experience, or some of them being like elite travel players. We don't, you know, we have all kinds of different players in our league. So it's a little bit more difficult when you're trying to teach the majority of a team as opposed to a couple of players.
We can take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about all this. FredNet Sunshine Baseball League powered by REC. It officially begins this weekend. And sunshinebaseball.net, or go to Facebook for all kinds of information on Sunshine Baseball. Mike Zitz and Dennis Rapkins here. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Mike Zitz and Dennis Rapkins in this morning. FredNet Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC, is getting underway. Sunshinebaseball.net is the website. Also, the Facebook will keep you up to date on... The whole lot of things going on here, as you've started to explain, Mike, but the weather has been, too. I mean, boy, the heat has been a huge issue the last few weeks as you've tried to, you know, just be, you've been limited on practices, and then you have rain today.
Yeah, well, Dennis was talking earlier about it being a summer game, people have become used to playing only, like youth teams anyway, playing baseball only in the spring and fall. So I had my mother... called me up the other day and said, well, it's going to be 90 degrees. I heard that you don't play if it's 90 degrees. And I was like, no, if we didn't play if it was 90 degrees, we wouldn't play very many games.
That's right.
You know? But we have we use a heat index, and it's kind of hard to explain. And if we get to a certain level, we slow things down. We shorten the game of practice. We make sure really careful about hydration, like wet towels. Like we have fans in the dugout and stuff like that.
And safety is always first. There's no question about that, and that's what Mike is getting to here. It's always first, but at the same time, for as long as the game has existed, baseball, the origin is Civil War era, and it's a game that was played in the South throughout the sweltering temperatures of July.
They were playing with cholera and dysentery too. So
like right. That. Well, but then even in looking at the 20th century, I'll just name two of the greatest players of all time that grew up playing in the Deep South, Hank Aaron and Willie Mays. I mean,
it would be Willie Mays and Hank Aaron, not Hank Aaron.
Okay, says Mike wearing his Giants jersey.
It
literally,
is, yeah.
I don't want to sound like the codger that I am, just saying that, you know, we should have kids out there playing when the heat index is 110. But, you know, there is the guidelines are there for a reason. But at the same time, you know, baseball is a summer sport. It's so that's something that I could imagine that, Mike, that are there – many of the Afghan refugee kids, are they complaining about the temperatures?
No.
I bet they're not.
There are some complaints. And I'd say, isn't it hot in Afghanistan? But it's a mountainous region. I guess it depends on where you live.
Right, so But what I was getting at is, you know, part of, as Mike explained earlier, the transfer of skills from cricket to baseball is incredible in so many ways, and that's why these kids are doing so well. But as I've said before, to me, the most impressive thing, let me take one step back. Baseball is a game of minimizing mistakes. You can live with physical errors, both at a professional level and especially at a youth level. And we understand that people think a youth game should look like a professional game, a Major League Baseball game. There's no comparison right. to be made. It's a completely different game. Physical errors are part of the game. This difference in baseball is mental errors. Mental errors will determine the fate of games, and mental toughness, and I think is extremely important. And I think the Afghan kids, from what I've seen, are extraordinary in terms of mental toughness. The stories, again, of their life stories of what they have been through in Afghanistan, and to make it here, and the sort of things that would negatively affect anybody else, you know, they're like, I mean, and again, I'm sure they're very competitive in the games. They want to win. Everybody wants to win. But win or lose a baseball game, hey, you know, that's just not so important compared to what they've been through. So the mental toughness part of baseball is extremely important. And the idea of once they learn the game, I think that's something that is going to really work to their advantage.
Well, and the other thing that we should at least talk a little bit about is we're dealing with, you know, them learning the game, but there are also cultural differences of trying to just assimilate or to see. And in your case, you're talking about a couple of girls teams, and it's just there's a cultural thing
first, really briefly, they're fearless. You know, they're really hard headed. They're really good kids. But they're fearless. And at one point, the last few days, I said to one kid in the 1300 team, I said, you got to pay attention all the time. You got to watch out. You got to keep your eye on the ball all the time. And the kid says, we were in war. We are not afraid of baseball. Baseball might not be a bomb, but it can do some damage to your head. You know? So, but you're right about the cultural thing. We have girls playing, and some people are opposed to that, including some like their own brothers playing on the team. We had we played in a scrimmage game last night, and this girl comes up to hit for us, and there are like probably 20 Afghan boys of varying ages behind the backstop, and they're just chattering really loudly in their native tongue, so I don't know exactly what was being said, but I don't think it was positive.
She could understand.
She's standing up there, and I'm thinking, there's no way in the world she's going to hit the ball because it's got so much pressure on her. Yeah. She hits a home run. I'm not over the fence, but like in the gap of line, shot, hardest hit ball of the game. It's really fast, circles the bases, crosses home plate right before the throw gets there. And I give it unbelievable courage and tenacity and determination.
You know, what I've been saying is that, you know, this is a documentary ready to be made. Just if somebody could have a camera, just this is one example that Mike just related from last night, to see this, talk about reality TV, to see this group heckling her, and then to see the result. I mean, this is just a real life tremendous story.
She's a pretty good athlete, but it's not just like she's a great hitter. She'd never hit the ball that hard in practice. And she does it under intense pressure. And the situation is such, and I don't want to make it seem too rough, but because of the pressure for girls not to play, I mean, we give them gloves and different equipment and bats. They can't take them home because before they get home, it's taken away from them, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like they're good people, but their culture is such that would never happen in Afghanistan. You would never do that. And we had one girl come out in the traditional gear beginning of this week and just is hitting one line shot after another. We're like dressed, I think you've seen it, and you just wouldn't believe it. There's so much, and it goes obviously far beyond baseball. It's a cliche, but the land of opportunity, and we're getting that across to them. I mean, it's what makes America great, and these kids want more than anything else to be true Americans. But you got to penetrate some. It's kind of like, you know, I had Julie Croteau on the semi-pro team I had like 30 years ago, and that was a time when that was not considered.
Mike, you might want to explain who Julie is.
Julie is from the Manassas area. She had been an all-star summer league player with the same kids on the Manassas Park High School team. And the coach cut her just purely for sexist reasons. And I had kids on my team who knew people on that team. And they said, the coach said to the male players, I don't care if she's Mickey Mantle, she's not playing on this team. So her parents sued the school board for discrimination, sex discrimination. And I worked at Freelance Star, they didn't have me cover the trial. I saw a video of her hitting in a cage and playing around, practicing at first base. And I could tell from that she could play.
Mm-hmm.
So the judge said, he threw it out of court, said it's too subjective for me to decide. He says, no constitutional right to play baseball. So I was coaching a semi-pro team in Fredericksburg Giants then, and I said, why don't you come down and try out for a team? And she did, and she was only 17 years old. And when we had guys on that team who were college players and former pro players in their late 20s, and she did well. She held her own. The first scrimmage that we had with her playing, she tried to bowl over. She's 5'7", 120, and she put her shoulder down and tried to bowl over a 6'2", 230-pound catcher. And she became an international story.
The movie A League of Their Own.
Yeah, she was in the movie A League of Their Own. When you see the scene where they're having the tryouts at Wrigley Field, and the girl looks at the board and sees her name there and jumps up and says, oh, all right, that's Julie. And she was a stunt double playing first base, and she would fill in for Madonna in center field when they had actual baseball. And one time, the director, Penny Marshall, called Madonna off. Madonna was crying because she was trying so hard to do a good job of playing. And Rosie O'Donnell was a friend and put her arm around her and said, that's all right. You can do other things. You can sing. You can dance. Julie was part of that. She was also a part of the Colorado Silver Bullets, the professional women's bar soaring team that was coached by Phil Negro.
Yeah.
And she became the first woman to play professional baseball in a league that's sanctioned by Major League Baseball in Hawaii Winter League. She became the first woman who was really a regular player in college baseball at St. Mary's. She became the first woman to coach an NCAA men's team. She went on to coach the USA women's team and won a gold medal coaching it. She became a broadcaster and did pregame dugout reports for the Giants at A's and the Colorado Rockies. And her glove and picture are on permanent display in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. But when she played, I brought her down. There was resistance to that.
So you've seen all of this before out in another form.
That's part of the reason why this, to me, jumped out at me. This is something that's important to do. And it's important because, like I said, these kids need to realize America's a land of opportunity. And we also need to show gratitude to their dads who risked their lives and really their families' lives helping Americans in Afghanistan with the Taliban. Mm-hmm. And now or not, they're here, and we need to get more of them out and get them here. But their lives are not easy here. So we need to do everything we can to help them, I think. But the cultural differences make things hard.
It's not going to be it's not going to be
very
easy.
Complicated.
It's a complicated situation. And Dennis, in situations like this, it's important for, as you try to assimilate for parents, for the American parents, or the people, to have some patience and to realize that this is a little bit different. And it's important for the coaches to have the backing of the parents and for the parents to show a little grace.
Yeah, and again, in Sunshine Baseball League, that is, Mike has explained, there's a combination. There are travel level types of players that have played baseball their entire lives, and there are other players that are new to the game, and also with the location of the field, that the idea was to bring underserved children, introduce baseball to them, provide opportunities their baseball to them. So when you're part of this league as a parent, you have to understand your child is going to learn baseball, is going to improve as a baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
But first and foremost, your child is going to improve as a human being by exposed to diversity is an overused word, and I don't think people really define it very well.
Right.
But when it's put into action, when you actually see different groups of people working together towards common goals and having fun together, understanding more about each other. And in this case, with the Afghan group, because of, as we said, because of cricket, I have seen some of these girls play, and it's just amazing.
You and I saw it last year.
Yes, yes. And so the swing path is, you know, is very adaptable. And, you know, the certainly in cricket, the and actually also with cricket, the idea may be one of the few sports also that doesn't, from what my understanding, my little my small understanding of cricket, doesn't have a game clock. I mean, from what I understand about cricket, it can go on for days at a time, and I know very little about it. But baseball is the same with without a game clock. So, again, even with the overlap between the two sports is so great. But as far as the parents, this is really an opportunity for your child to grow as a baseball player and grow as a human being.
I like that. That's in that's yes that that's exactly what it is. And somebody like Mike, who sees this big picture, is to be applauded.
Yes. Well, Mike has, as we've said before, Mike and with the backing of his wife Lisa, but Mike is out there on the ground.
Lisa. Okay. Go ahead.
Did I say Lisa? Yes, Lisa. That Mike is out there not just talking the talk. He's walking the walk. He is sacrificing his time. And again, all that comes with it, because as Ted, as you were alluding to, of course, parents are out there first and foremost for their own children. And
right.
That's completely understandable. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's just so much more going on behind the scenes that people don't understand, that people don't see. So many scales that Mike is trying to balance. And but the bottom line is we're trying to communicate the intent of the league here. If things aren't done perfectly at all times, then please, we're sorry in advance. But the intent is there.
We can take a quick break and come back and talk more about this. This is good stuff, because you don't want this to become a not in my backyard kind of thing. And there really are some exciting things happening, but along some bumps along the way too. FredNet Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC, with Dennis Rapkins and Mike Zitz this morning. SunshineBaseball.net, or check out Facebook for all kinds of information. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking FredNet, Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC. It is getting underway. Dennis Rapkins and Mike Zitz here. A little bit more on just the start and just kind of the assimilation. Because, boy, you said it great, Dennis, when you talked about, because I thought about it last year and when just a little bit that I covered it, that this is something that MLB Network, at the very least, should come out and cover these kids. And there's a story here, but it's kind of like you look at stories of when with adoption or things like that. It doesn't always go smooth. And there are going to be some issues here.
Right. Well, Major League Baseball has a program, baseball, promoting baseball in the inner cities, and that's to reach out to underserved kids and so forth. And again, Sunshine Baseball League, we're affiliated with that program. You know, from a distance, we don't get all the resources of Major League Baseball, but we certainly.
But you should.
Well, we should, and we share that vision. And in our case, is what we're talking about this morning is the involvement of the Afghan kids. Now, I am very circumspect about these kind of things. I wouldn't be saying something like, If there's a documentarian out there, I can tell you this is a tremendous story that's unfolding in front of our eyes locally here in Fredericksburg right at this time. And, you know, if I had the know-how, the professional know-how, knowledge in this realm, and time to do it, resources, I would be on it. And I guarantee this would be something that could appear on eventually, if it were professionally crafted, on a ESPN 3030 sort of situation, mm-hmm. and let alone just part of this package of Major League Baseball, their commitment to outreach. So again, and it's just amazing. This is unfolding locally, and it's through, again, through Mike's vision. And in addition, I'm sorry, I don't remember her last name, but Kelly, who works.
Kelly Brown.
Kelly Brown, yeah. Who coordinates with the local Afghan refugees. She's been very supportive.
Works with Operation Snow Leopard, which helps, you know, bring Afghan people here and settle them.
And it has. No, it's you're right. It is a great story, but there are a few bumps here.
When we were talking a little earlier about Julie Croteau, the first college women's baseball player, and did all kinds of her glove and picture in the Hall of Fame now in the women's section. She played on my semi-pro team, the Fredericksburg Giants, back in the late 80s and early 90s, and did all kinds of different things, including a league of their own, all kinds of things. And we were talking about it, with my brothers and I were talking about it at one point. And we said, this really could be a movie, you know. It really could be, like, mm-hmm. a feature movie. And I said, but somebody said, who would play Mike? And my brother said, Danny DeVito. So,
it's,
I mean,
true.
With this, if you're talking about a documentary, that scares me a little bit, because I think I would be Buttermaker, be Walter Matthau, staggering around out there, like, under the influence and cursing under my breath and stuff. But,
well, the important thing of any documentary that would be made would also, as we alluded to earlier, to show the behind the scenes, all of the things that, if you just show up at the field, you know, you see one thing, but to actually see what takes place behind the scenes, all of the balls that are being juggled, all of the emails that are being sent, you know, anyway, this is just, but in a, the bottom line story itself is just fantastic.
Couple of things. There's always finances needed, and if there are businesses or individuals that can fund this that we've been talking about this morning, now is the time to step up.
We give a lot of scholarships, because part of the mission of our league is to help families who couldn't afford travel ball or even like a fee. Like our regular fee is $165 for 3 months, which is not much, but for some people, it's hard to come up with that.
Yeah.
So we give a pretty good sizable percentage of our kids' scholarships. So we need to raise money. And we have a program where you can buy $500, you can sponsor a kid, $150, you can sponsor a player. And we, the team sponsors, $500, you can sponsor a team, and $150 a player. And the team sponsors get banners at the games. And we do lots of PA system thank yous for everybody who's doing that, and social media and other media too. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
There's more exposure for sponsors in Sunshine Baseball League than any other league that I have been involved in, and that goes back a long way.
Rappahannock Electric Co-op, Fredericksburg Nationals, Germana, the Kappa's fraternity, Fredericksburg Lions Club. They're all been consistent people backing us. So.
And if you go to sunshinebaseball.net, you'll see a long list. But if you want to become part of that, and this is something to get to be part of, and just the people behind the scenes, Mike, Dennis, and others that are behind this,
and the McBroom Peak family, they have a golf tournament every fall for us and raise money for us every year. They've been great.
Now, you see, at all levels, at all ages, the kids that get to play, and this Afghan component. I've never seen anybody so excited as you were last year when you started telling me about it, and then I went and started seeing it, and you know, seeing these kids out there in sandals, and seeing these kids, you know, not all the equipment that other kids had.
Reminds me of the new sporting goods store at Central Park, Academy Outdoors and Sports. Yeah. They had a day where we brought those kids in.
Yep.
And some of them only had sandals even for the winter in school, and they were able to get sneakers and all kinds of baseball equipment thanks to Academy.
You know, Mike, I'm going to ask you a question that the Afghan refugee kids, how pervasive are they? I mean, it's like now you can barely ask kids in the neighborhood, to play catch because they're in between throws. They're checking their text messages. And for Afghan kids, what their cell phone use and that sort of thing, is there a contrast?
Not all of them have smartphones like, you know, American kids do, but some of them do. Yeah. It's not, they're not spending a lot of time on their phones. They're engaged.
Well, that's like the bottom line of what I'm getting at.
But no, yeah. It's like they're not, I don't want to say spoiled, but they're not, they're anything but that. And they're very grateful for anything they get. But they're also not afraid to ask for stuff. And we have a kid, really great kid, who helps run the park out there for us, Dasher Bear, and he's dealt with anxiety in the past. And he says, I can tell you one thing, these kids don't have anxiety. They're like anything but anxious. You know, they're really strong-willed and brave. And we were talking about the sandals. We had a scrimmage last night, 10 and under scrimmage. And this kid is the line drive to outfield, really good player. This kid's like tiny. It reminds me of Joe Morgan, the second baseman for the Reds and, I guess, Astros.
Big red machine, yeah.
But really, he's an amazing little player. Hits it, and I look down. I'm coaching first base, and he's barefoot. And I said, he said, I need to call timeout. He was in sandals, and when he got his jump out of the batter's box, his sandals flew off, and they were near home plate. You know, so that's the way things are with those kids, and we need to help them everywhere we can and getting them sneakers and everything. And they all want to have batting gloves because the other kids have batting gloves. Oh. So that's really important to them.
See, that'd be something small to some, but to them I can see that's important. Fit in.
And to me, like I played myself during the Civil War and we didn't have batting gloves then, but I said, you don't really need batting gloves. And they look at me like, what are you talking about? Everybody has batting gloves.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
Is there a major league player now that doesn't have batting gloves?
Right. Yeah. Although they can't adjust them like they used to.
That's right. And that's why, well, at the same time with the clock, they can't get rid of the imaginary dust mote in their eye either. So there are a lot of things they can't do.
But it makes it sound, I don't mean to sound, they want to be, they really want to be Americans. They want to be just like other Americans. They want to be like American kids. So they want to not, they want to have the things American kids do. And I'm not talking about PlayStations. I'm talking about like a $20 pair of batting gloves. You know,
well, as every parent knows, learning is caught, not taught. And I think the idea for American kids to observe these Afghan kids, it's the whole package is, you know, they're not afraid to ask. And you don't know unless you ask. Yeah. That's a good lesson to learn.
Yeah.
And the fearlessness, the focus, the fierceness, and then let alone the lack of obsession with cell phones and these sort of things. I think there's a lot that American kids can learn from these Afghan kids.
Well, this is why we spend time, especially over the summer months, to talk about it every month. It's a great league, and what's happening now is something to pay attention to. And if anything, Mike, Dennis and I are just saying we're behind you and hang
100%.
In there. And it's a great thing of what you're doing, and hopefully a lot more in the community catch the vision and get involved.
Thanks.
In this.
We should thank Doris Buffett because it was her vision, along with Cal Ripken, who started this. And this was one of the first Ripken fields here in Fredericksburg, and they put them in low income neighborhoods so that kids can walk over and play. And Doris, I think a lot of people here in the Fredericksburg area knew her and loved her, and she's an amazing person. So and her grandson, Alex Rozek Buffett, has continued to support us. But when I say that, it sounds like we're rolling in money. We're not. We need to raise a lot of money every year.
SunshineBaseball.net for more information on that. Go to Facebook also and get involved if you can with Sunshine Baseball League. We're going to take a break a little bit earlier than we usually do and come back because we need to talk. Not only was he a great baseball player, but Mike's idol, Willie Mays. We'll talk about that when we conclude this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, T. Ted Schubel.
Sunshine Baseball League. Fred Nat, Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC with Dennis Rapkins and Mike Zitz. Before we get out of here this morning, I know, Mike, the death of Willie Mays was tough on you. We all have our childhood heroes, and boy, he was a childhood hero to you in many. What a great ball player.
Oh, yeah. We were just talking during the break. He really had a big impact on my life. And President Obama, when they had a ceremony, well, he said this a while ago, but they had a ceremony this week for Willie when they came back to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And they showed video of him talking about Willie and said, the thing about Willie is, he wasn't like Jackie Robinson. He was not the first, and he wasn't outspoken like Jackie. He was kind of just did things by example. But he was so lovable and so hard to dislike that it had an impact. And his charisma and the way he played the game, his excitement and joy for it. There's a scene in 42. Where Jackie Robinson has been spiked. He's in the trainer's room. And he says, "Why'd you do this, Mr. Ricky?" And he says, "Well, you know, black people should be able to play baseball." And he says, "No, why'd you do this? Why'd you do it? And he says that, you know, he had experience as a coach in college where a black kid was in his room, found him crying in his room, and said, "I wish I could wash the black off me." Hmm. But beyond that, he said, he was driving to the ballpark that day, and he saw a pickup baseball game on a sandlot. And he said he saw, like, white kids playing. And he said there was a white kid pretending to be Jackie Robinson.
Hmm.
And you can imagine that. And this is in the, like, late, it's 47.
Yeah.
So imagine that, a white boy pretending to be a black man. And that was me. And, my dad once said, you'd never know that Mike grew up in the South. He was an Army colonel. We moved around a lot. But that's because Willie Mays was a god to me. How could anybody say anything? You know, how could anybody say black people are inferior? Willie Mays is black. And it had an impact on me that really has been like a thread throughout my life.
Well, Willie Mays was just, if for people who, again, he was the peak of his abilities during the 1950s. And in the 1954 World Series, for anybody who's followed baseball, understands the two words, the catch.
Yeah.
It was the Cleveland Indians that year had won 111 games, were the dominant team in baseball, and they played the Giants in the World Series. And in game one, in Polo Grounds, the center field fence was 483 feet away from home plate. This was a field that was not made for baseball, but that's where the Giants played. And it created an environment where Vic Wirtz, batting for the Indians, hit a screaming distance, long drive, and Mays went running back, running, and somehow caught the ball over the shoulder, put on the brakes immediately, and threw back to second base, which stopped Larry Doby from tagging up and advancing to third. This was just an extraordinary play. And by the way, the pitcher for the Indians, I think his name was Little, came in to face one batter. Vic Wirtz was taken out after that out and said, "Got my man." And that was just, you know, just an incredible play. Willie Mays, that was as a fielder, as a hitter, played in Candlestick Park. Anybody who's been to San Francisco, you know, in the summer, knows the Mark Twain quote that, you know, the coldest winter he ever spent was summer in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And Candlestick Park, you know, people in the middle of the summer would come to games in down jackets. Yeah. I mean, it was just super cold. People asked Willie Mays, I think, one time that I know of, you know, how many home runs would you have hit if you'd have been somewhere else? And of course, he loved the Giants. He wanted to be with the Giants and everything he said, I would have hit 800 anywhere else. And that was in addition to his 2 years of military service.
Yeah.
That where he was. So he would have passed Babe Ruth's record if he had played anywhere else and if he had been, if he had had a full career. So just an amazing story.
Yeah, he would have.
After he died, I thought of the players from that era who now we've lost so many of them, the Gibsons and the, you know, Mays and Aaron.
Willie McCovey.
Right.
Yes. No, it was baseball at its best, and of course, at that point, it was the national pastime at that point. And you know, baseball is what we were, and football is kind of what we've become, and that's fine. You know, football fans and basketball fans, NBA fans, that's understandable. Those are exciting games, but again, baseball is unique. There's no game clock. And that golden era of baseball that you're referring to, Ted, there are just so many. And again, this is still before my time, but I, or at least before I was certainly watching baseball, the idea that the 1960 World Series between the Pirates and the Yankees in that area Game 7 is held up to be the one of the greatest games of all time, where Bill Mazeroski of the Pirates hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth inning. I believe the final score was 9-8, the Pirates. And it was a seesaw game going back and forth. And I may have this right, but it's off the top of my head. But what made that game so amazing was, I believe there were no strikeouts in the game. No batter had strike three called against him. And that's my major complaint. This is a whole other subject about today's game. There's just 25% of the outs made are strikeouts. I don't like that. I want to see contact. I want to see balls in play. I want to see runners attempting. I want to see the contest between fielders chasing a ball, trying to stop a runner from advancing a base. I want to see relays. I want to see players slide. I don't know what we have to do to get that back, but there are ideas. We could move the fences back. Fewer home runs. Home runs are fine, but that's not what I want to see. I want to see doubles, triples, and players running the bases.
Dennis. We're running out of time, but now you've given us another topic for another. We've needed a new topic for a while. This will be our new topic.
Well, fantastic, because there's a lot of things that can be done, and it also comes down to changing the way pitchers pitch too. Instead of pitchers only going five innings in a game, starting pitchers, it used to be. Starting pitchers were the stars of the game, and they no longer are. That would be like in football, Tom Brady being taken out of the game and late in the third quarter and not play the fourth quarter. That's what baseball has become.
And again, another topic for another day, but just the other day, Skeens was taken out for the second time this season. He had a no-hitter in seven innings. And, you know, you see that kind of thing, and that would just never have been done before, but we'll –
Well, you don't want to take a chance on his arm, you know, for like.
Well, we know, but there are other ways of getting the idea of teaching pitchers command instead of every pitch having to be full velocity, and that has changed the way batters bat. It's created a launch angle swing, which creates a strikeout or a home run, all or nothing. Yeah, so again, we could go on and on about this topic.
My contention is that a lot of the pitchers Babe Ruth faced would not be the number one starter on a lot of high school teams today, and he didn't face five or six pitchers in a game. It's usually one guy. He was getting more and more tired. He's getting five at bats against a totally different game.
Yeah, he didn't face the splitter, the sweeper. Yeah. The sweeper, again, in terms of injuring arms, today's game, teaching pitchers that the idea, it's called scapular retraction. The idea is getting the throwing. Here I am on radio demonstrating. Getting the shoulder back as far back as possible to create a whip action in conjunction with the hip, and then landing on a stiff leg. You can just, if you can grasp just a vision of what I'm saying, back in the old days, they landed on a bent leg. Tom Seaver, Vida Blue, Steve Carlton. And that's why a principal reason that they were able to pitch so many innings. Today's game, the velocity of the pitching has just ruin things.
Scapular
retraction.
Wow, it is baseball. Dennis, I love you. Scapular.
Well, Ted, the feeling is mutual. Yeah. Thank you.
We need to. This is it. We have run out of time. But again, sunshinebaseball.net, FretNet Sunshine Baseball League getting underway. Support them all you can. Dennis Rapkins, Mike Zitz. Thanks. We'll talk soon.
Thanks as always.
Thank you, Ted.
Thanks.
Appreciate you.
That is it. We'll see you. See you on Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.